To Matthew 13, please. Matthew 13. We are certainly blessed to be here this morning, aren't we? I saw that Florida College, where Jessica and I did our undergraduate, now some of the rest of you either went there or have associations there, is completely on lockdown this morning. The storm was supposed to hit there at 8:30, and I think every church in Tampa has been canceled this morning because the city's on lockdown. But we're truly blessed, aren't we, to be outside on just a beautiful, sunny day worshiping our holy God. So let's never take it for granted, coming together. Before we get to the lesson, I do want to have one follow-up from last week. Daniel pointed out to me that one of our members may have taken the lesson from last week just a bit too literally. I drove up to the church building on Friday and found toilets outside. So it looks like we were building a dung gate again. So I appreciate so much the dung gate that was built, perhaps the dung ramp rather that was built. We're changing focus this morning. That concluded a series last week that we looked at growth and the growth that God demands of us and desires of us. What we are going to begin this morning, and we're going to follow for the next few weeks, is looking at faith. What I want to do this morning is prepare our minds for a lesson next week. Next week, as you know, we are having another special service. There are many cards in the back, and we can print many more if we need. And it's also online. You can get a digital copy, share with any individuals, email it, text it, etc. But next week, what we're going to do is we're going to look at faith in God. January 15th of this year, we've done three of these this year, but we began by looking at grace. Later in the year, we looked at the love of God. And as the elders thought through it, they realized we've looked at the love of God, we've looked at the grace of God, but now we need to look at the faith that we need to put into God. And I would urge y'all not to underestimate the importance of this. We have had conversions this year from these efforts. And what I want to do this morning is I want to ask this question then. As we seek to sow the seed a bit more, how do we spread the gospel? How do we spread the gospel? So again, next week we're having another evangelism, outreach, whatever you want to call it, service. How do we spread the gospel? What we're going to do this morning is we are going to go to the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. We are going to look at both the imperative of the deliverer or the presenter of the message, and we're also going to look at the demands of the hearer of the word of God to see what is required for the gospel to spread throughout this world. So the parable of the sower is perhaps one of the better known parables of Jesus, but I actually want us to read it together this morning. So let's begin with a reading from Matthew 13, verse 1. Matthew 13, verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered behind him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on a good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. So Christ is the best storyteller who's ever been. Christ, whose life is the greatest narrative ever told, is also by his mouth the greatest storyteller that's ever been. And one of the greatest teaching methods of Jesus was narrative. It was story, parables, as we may call them. And here in this parable, the story, Christ tells a story about a man who drops some seed in some different places. Some of the seed doesn't grow, other of the seed grows. What in the world does this have to do with the gospel? If you've never heard this before, this perhaps seems strange. What in the world is this story doing in a book that has to do with spiritual matters? This is a story about farming and throwing seed and gardening. What does that relate to Jesus and his good message? Well, Christ then explains this parable to us beginning in verse 18. Here he says in verse 18 of the chapter, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a little while. When tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, and in another 60, and in another 30. So here's what Christ is doing. Christ, in his normal fashion, takes a great spiritual truth and presents it in the manner of a parable. He presents it through story. Well, in the context of this story, what's the seed? He tells us in verse 18 and 19, the seed is the word of God. So let's back up and look at verse 3 of the chapter. He told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. So here physically, let's get this physical image in our mind. You have a sower who is taking seed and sowing them. But in verse 3, a sower went to sow. Some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. So here, what is this seed? It's not physical seed. He's not talking about a physical plant. Rather, in verse 19, he says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. What is the seed? The seed is the word of God. So here's the image. Just as a physical sower takes his seed and puts it in the ground, and then from that seed he expects that there's going to be some plant or vegetation or vegetable or fruit that comes from it, here the seed is the word of God. It is the implanted word of God that is going to give growth. Well, what then is the soil? The soil is equally important to this story. The soil's heart. Now, we'll talk about this in more depth in a few minutes, about the different types of soil. But here, let's just note, the soil is a metaphor of the heart. He says again in verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. Here, the soil is the heart. So here's the image physically. Physically, you have a sower who's taking seed and he puts it in various areas. Some of it grows, some of it doesn't. Spiritually, what this means is the word of God is given into the hearts of men and women, and then from it, it produces growth at times. Other times, it produces nothing. Well, for us then, what is the spiritual lesson? Well, I want us to look at two different sides of this. I want us to first look at the sower's work, and then I want us to look at the hearer's work. Here, you have to have both individuals, both parties doing something. If the sower doesn't plant, nothing grows. If the soil is not ready, nothing grows. To have a good garden, you have to have a good sower and a good soil, right? I mean, practically, we understand this. Whenever you have any type of growth, you have to have a sower and you have to have soil. Well, what is the sower doing? As you back up and you look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 3, I want us to note a couple of weird things about this passage. Matthew 13, verse 3. He told them many things in parables, saying a sower went out to sow. Now let's stop there. A sower went out to sow. If I were writing this with my limited gardening experience, Lois may have a lot better advice on this than I would, but here you have a sower going out to sow. What is he going to do? He's going to get his hoe or he's going to get his tiller. He's going to work up the ground. He's going to get the ground ready. He may fertilize it, may put a bit of sod, do whatever's necessary, but you're first going to work the soil. It's not what this sower does. What does this sower do? A sower went out to sow. Verse 4. As he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Whoa, very counterintuitive. Here he's not working up the soil and then putting the seed down in the soil. It falls. He scatters it. Verse 5. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground. This is a very stupid sower, isn't it? I mean, if you want to have a good, you want to have a good crop, you want to have a good outcome, you don't just take your seed and put it in rocks, right? If I want a really good tomato plant, I'm not going to go up to a rocky cliff and put some seeds in it. I'm not going to go find a nasty weed-filled field and then put my seed in it. I'm going to get my soil ready. I'm going to get the garden ready. And then I'm going to put the seed in it. But then verse 6. But when the sun rose, it scorched. And since he had no root, he withered away. Then other seeds fell along the thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked them out. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain. Some in a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. What is the sower doing? I think we first need to note what the sower is not doing. The sower is not acting like a sower. He's not acting like a gardener. He has my gardening skills, who produces one tomato a year. That's all that he's doing. A good sower, right? You get down in the ground, you get the soil, you take the seed and you plant it when you need. And then if it's like a tomato plant, you're going to make sure you have enough distance between them. And then you're going to make sure you can get that good tomato cage around it. And then you're going to get enough seed over it. Now, you don't want to put it too deep or it's not going to come up. If you put it too up high, then it's going to be washed away by the next rain. You have to get it right at the right level. And then you have to get that soil good, watered at the proper time. That's what a good sower does. But what's this sower doing? Here, a sower goes out to sow. Some of his seed goes among the thorns. Some of it goes among the rocky cliffs. Some of it goes among the good soil. What is the sower doing? He's really not sowing, he's scattering. Brethren, the imperative for us as sowers is not to sow, but to scatter. That's really what he's teaching here from the perspective of the sower. You notice the sower, he's not getting in really sowing. He's not tilling. He's not hoeing. He's not getting the dirt up. Rather, what he's doing is he's scattering the seed. Brethren, what do we have to do? We have to scatter. A very similar metaphor to this is used in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's turn there, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Here, Paul is dealing with division at the church at Corinth, and he reminds them of some of the work that's gone on in the past. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. What is he doing? Paul planted. He planted. Apollos was then the one that came and watered. Once it started growing, once there was already a little plant there, once it started budding a little bit, once it was just that small, fragile little plant, Apollos then came and watered. What did Paul do? Paul planted. He planted. What did Paul do whenever he went to nearly any city? Paul would usually go to the synagogue, right? Why would he go to the synagogue? He'd scatter the seed. He'd scatter it. Whenever he went to Athens, he went to the Areopagus. Why? To scatter the seed. Whenever Peter in Acts 2 is standing at the temple, what does he do? He scatters the seed. He throws it out. Throws it out. Brethren, this is our mission and this is our imperative as Christians. We need to scatter the seed. It is not for us to decide who is a candidate for the gospel and who is not open to the gospel. That's up to the hearer. What we have to do is we have to scatter. How many times have we told ourselves, I'm not talking to that family member because they just won't listen. I'm not going to talk to that co-worker because their heart's just too closed. I am not going to mention it to my neighbor because there's no way they'd ever come with me to church. We don't know that. It is up to their soil. It is up to their heart to decide whether they're going to let the Word of God into it. But it's not up to us to decide whether to give them the seed. We need to scatter. Brethren, we have to take the holy Word of God. We have to take the holy inspired message of God, and we have to scatter it. Who knows who it's going to go to? Who knows? If I can just tell a couple of stories about members here who've been baptized this year. Jennifer, I think, was invited to a special service. I think it was the January 15th one by her parents, right? They talked to her many times, I know. And Jennifer and I have had these conversations. We've talked about her past. But they scattered. And it took seed, and it grew. What if Donnie and Joan had said, well, I just don't know yet. I mean, if she really wanted to come with church, you know, that's up to her. They scattered, and we have a new sister in Christ. I think Donna met Bonnie through an organization. I won't say which one. But through an organization. Donna's daughter was already a Christian. What if Bonnie had said, well, you know what? If Melanie hasn't converted her yet, there's no way I'm going to be able to help her. Bonnie scattered. Brethren, we need to scatter. If we think that we, in our great judgment, can figure out who has the good soil and who has the rocky soil, we're smarter than Paul. We're smarter than Peter. We need to scatter. If it doesn't take, that's up to the hearer. But we have to scatter. But I would recommend, not only do we need to scatter, but here I think is the critical aspect for me as the preacher. I need to make sure I have the right seed. Now let me explain what I mean by this. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I want us to look at verse 24. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. While we are scattering the word, what we have to do is we have to make sure that we have in our hands the proper seed, the right seed, the true word of God. Colossians 1, verse 24. I think you'll notice some allusions to the parable of the sower here. I rejoice in my suffering for your sake and in my flesh, for I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. Stop here. What's Paul doing? Paul is chosen as a minister to suffer. Why is he suffering? Because of verse 25, to make the word of God fully known, to scatter it. Verse 26, that is the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to the saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul is scattering. He's taking the seed. He's scattering it. He's spreading it. He's throwing it out. But Paul sees the seed as it really is. He knows what the seed is. What is that seed? Verse 26. It is the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. It is, verse 27, the riches of the glory of the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul sees the seed for its true value and its true worth. The seed of the gospel is the mystery that was hidden for generations. You go to the book of Ephesians, we understand this is even the mystery hidden from angels. Not even angels knew that God had a plan. God had a mystery. We all love a good mystery, right? The greatest mystery in the story of mankind was never written by Sherlock Holmes. Or Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, rather. But rather, it was the mystery of Jesus Christ. God had a mystery. How was he going to take this people who had rebelled against him? How was he going to take this creation the height of his creation, had openly rebelled and sinned against him. How was God going to take this fallen people and bring them back into fellowship with him? It was a mystery. But then when the time was right, God sent forth his son, born of a virgin. And God sent forth his only begotten son and gave his blood upon Calvary, that through his cross our sins can be taken away and we can be restored to our Creator. We can be restored to our God. We can live with him for eternity. That's the seed that we have to plant, brethren. Why did Paul scatter? Because he saw its value. He saw what it was really worth. He wasn't just keeping it to himself. This great mystery, this great plan, this good news, this gospel, he was spreading everywhere he can. Brethren, as a spreader of the gospel, as a planter of the gospel, as a sower even of the gospel, and as a preacher of the gospel, I take this charge extremely, extremely carefully. I am to preach and to plant no seed but the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yet how often have we failed to understand what the seed really is? The seed is God's great mystery hidden for generations that has now been revealed in the personhood of Jesus Christ and in his life and in his resurrection that can give us eternal life. That's the good news of Christ. If we take away from that message, or we even add to that message, we don't truly understand the true beauty and the true severity and the true value even of the Word of God. It is the plan to bring mankind back to God. That is the seed I want to plant. The seed that I want to plant in the hearts of mankind, in the heart of every man and every woman, is that God sent his son to die for you and you can be in fellowship with him. It was hidden for generations. It was hidden for ages, but God can now give it back. Isn't that message worth preaching? Isn't that message worth scattering? Isn't that message worth spreading? If we don't scatter the word, brethren, I'm going to recommend we truly don't understand the value, the worth, or perhaps even very essence of the Word of God. We've taken away from it. We like to preach that which is comfortable to us. We like to talk about the things that we know. But when we talk about the unsearchable riches of God, when we talk about the unknowable worth of knowing our eternal Father, it's a message that's intimidating, but far more valuable than any we could do. Back up to verse 21. Paul reminds them, you were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. But he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Brethren, we need to scatter. We need to understand the gospel at its core is about uniting mankind with his God. Ephesians 1:11. That's really what the gospel is all about. It's about bringing a fallen man and womankind back into relationship with God. That's at its core is what the gospel is about. Do we scatter it? Do we throw it? We need to scatter it, brethren. We need to scatter it. It's not for us to determine who's going to respond. It's not for us to determine who it's going to grow in. But we need to take that good message. We need to take that great plan. And we need to scatter it. What then does the hearer need to do? The hearer certainly has work to do. And ultimately, the hearer has to be open to the seed. If you'll go back with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Let's work through this text. Verse 19. When anyone hears the word of God and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. So here you have something sown along the path. You know, it's just tossed there. The sower did his work. The sower scattered. But that soil just wasn't going to give rise to it. It just wasn't open to it. Verse 20. As for what was sown on rocky ground, This is the one who hears the word of God immediately and receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself. Endures for a while, but when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. This is the individual who's baptized, who comes out of the water kicking and screaming with joy. They're excited to be in Christ. They're on fire for a couple months. But then they get back into the habits of life. They get back into the ways of sin. Back into it. We've seen that happen here a few times over the last couple of years. Individuals who came out of the waters of baptism, joyful for the forgiveness they'd received. They did well for a few weeks, a few months, but then they went back to the world. Whose responsibility is that? As Daniel talked about on Wednesday, we have to cultivate. We have to help grow. But ultimately, some hearts are just going to close themselves off to the gospel again. And finally, you'll notice verse 22. I'm going to skip down to verse 23, rather. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case, 100-fold in another, and in another 30. This is what we're looking for. A open heart, good soil that wants the seed, is open to the seed, is going to cultivate the seed in their heart, and then it'll give forth growth. That's what the hearer needs to do. So what is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to not judge who is a candidate for the gospel and who is not. Our responsibility is to scatter. But the hearer, sometimes you're going to get rocky soil. Sometimes you're going to get a path. Sometimes you're going to get thorns. But at other times you're going to get that good soil that the mystery of God will take root in their heart. It'll bring forth growth. It'll bring forth change. And then you see the power of the Word of God. So that's the spread of the gospel. How do we spread the gospel? Well, twofold. The sower must scatter the right seed. The hearer has to be open to it. But then, as my final admonition, let us never forget, God's then going to be the one to give the growth. That's how we spread the gospel. Get out your songbooks, please. So, brethren, let me ask you, are you going to scatter? I counted about 250 of those I printed. Currently, less than 50 have been taken. Are you going to scatter? I'm going to do everything that I can, and I hope in the year that I've been here that we've developed a trust between myself and y'all that you can entrust me with preaching the Word of God. It's something that you know I take most seriously. And I pray that any time that you invite someone, that if their heart is open, I put in the right seed. I put in the right seed. I don't put in some false seed of Christ, but the proper seed of the gospel. That's what I'm going to try to do as well as I know how next week. We're going to talk about faith. We're going to talk about the necessity of faith, the imperative of faith, and why it's so critical to the great scheme of redemption. But brethren, we need to scatter. If some don't accept, their soil's not ready. Maybe there'll be a great boulder that comes and it's going to clear their path in life. Maybe at some point there'll be a storm that hits their life and their path will be cleared and it'll be good and ready. Maybe they're just not ready. That's not up for us to decide. But we need to scatter. For the invitation this morning, I want to change focus to another event that happened on Wednesday. Norman called me on Wednesday morning. I wanted to talk. And whenever he got here, we talked for about 30, 45 minutes. And he explained to me that he wanted to be baptized. He'd been baptized as a younger man in the 90s. But after he'd been baptized, his sanctification just wasn't working. He was still struggling with things. He explained to me that he wasn't confident. He'd gotten wet, but whether or not he'd been immersed in Christ by faith, he just didn't know. He'd been wrestling with this, I think, for months, perhaps longer. He'd been laying in bed, not able to sleep, making himself sick, because he wasn't sure whether or not he was going to heaven. Let me tell you what Norman could have done. Norman could have said, well, I'll be embarrassed about this. People will judge me for this. I've already been baptized before, so I'm just going to not do anything about it. But as we talked, he reminded me, Ryan, I'm going to stand before God by myself. My wife, you, and no one else is going to answer for me in judgment. And I need to know that I can approach death with certainty. I had him read 1 John 5:13. I write these things to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. I asked Norman before I baptized him, Norman, do you have eternal life? He said, no. After he came out of the water, 1 John 5:13, I write these things to you, little children, that you may know you have eternal life. Norman, do you have eternal life? Yes. I'm going to ask you the same question. Do you have eternal life? If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, come forward while we stand and sing. Brother.